All right, we're good. All right, we're gonna. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me in the back there? Thank you, sir. That's the peanut gallery, eh? All right, this is a prayer with my lovely wife, Debbie, and myself, Ken. We're gonna start out by showing some quick videos, correct, honey? All right, Bob, if you can get the lights.
Folks, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been to church and a lady gets up to sing a song on Sunday? And she's like, God gave me that song. He gave me. Oh. Now, we have certain sayings in the church, you know, that are overused, I think. You know, God gave me this, God gave me that. Now, God does give us things, absolutely, but sometimes we blame God for stuff he never did give us. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. You ever been to church and a lady gets up to sing a song on Sunday? She's like, God gave me that song. He gave it to me. Then she sings the song. And you're thinking, maybe you should give it back. Maybe God didn't want you sharing that one, Buttercup. Hide it under a bushel. Yes! That was horrible. God gave it to me. No, it didn't. Start stacking chairs. That was unbelievably bad. God did give it. Something real bad happened in the transition phase, if you know what I'm saying. I think the way we pray is, prayer is a powerful thing, but I think it's when you grow up in church, it's just you hear prayers all the time in different styles and stuff, and little quirks that people have when they pray. I don't know, little phrases that I don't understand to this day. But we use the phrases, but that's just what we heard growing up. We think that's just the right thing to say when we pray. You know, like hedge of protection. You ever hear that? Hear that a lot. Hedge of protection. Damn, we are praying a hedge of protection around you, buddy. That's right, a hedge. Around you and your whole family. A hedge, huh? I don't mean to complain. Is that the best you can do? How about a thick cement wall? Right. With some razor wire on top of that bad boy. Hedge protect, good set of clippers get right through that thing. I'm sure the devil's got a set of those. I mean, you think a hedge is going to scare the devil away? What is this greenery? I can't get through that. Move that bush. My greatest weakness is landscaping. How did they know? That's how the devil walks, like this. Well, he has a pointy tail. He doesn't want to step on his tail. And he talks like a game show host. Fantastic. You get the turtle wax. The best, though, is the way people, the way they pray over food. That's the funniest. The way we pray over food, we don't know why we say it. You ever heard this one? Lord, bless this food and the hands that prepared it. The hands that prepared it. Why not the whole body? No. Just the hands. It's like Jurassic Park. I love this one over food. Sometimes we pray over food and ask God to make up for our bad choices when we eat. That's funny. What is, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, bless this bag of Cheetos. And this jumbo Dr. Pepper, Lord. Somehow make this nourish us in some way. I don't know how you're going to do it, Father, but we just trust in you now.
Father, change the molecular structure of this food. This complete trash we're about to shove in our gullet. Change the Cheeto into a carrot stick on the way down. Spirit of low carb, rain down on me now! I pray a hedge of protection around my pancreas, Lord! Right now! Intervene!
Yeah, that was the fun part of prayer. I thought that was kind of funny. Just to make it light when we start. Because prayer is pretty serious. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. That's where I'm going when I finally get there. I told you I like to listen to sermons. Like Spurgeon, and he talked about, he has a sermon called True Prayer. Actually, what it is it's a gentleman, because that was from a long, long time ago. Of course, it's not Spurgeon preaching on the website, but it's somebody reading his sermons, what he wrote. And he talks about true prayer, and he talked about coming boldly to the throne of grace and what that means. There were three things. He talked about being personal, being specific, and being persistent. And Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Him being the high priest and the King of Kings, we can still approach him boldly. When Esther, some of you may know this story, that she had to go before the king, and she was fearful because you didn't go to the king without being requested of or asking permission to go. And she went knowing that she could die in that process. We don't have a king like that. We have a king that we can go to boldly, and we can go and tell all of our troubles to, or our joys to, or the things we're thankful for, the things we're hurting about. We can go to him boldly and talk to him openly, personally. The one thing, when I say talk to him personally, we talked last week about Psalm and how David went before the Lord and just poured his heart out in the Psalms and what the things that were hurting him, the things that were causing him, heartbreak, and even the things that caused him joy. There were other Psalms in the scripture where he's doing is praising the Lord and his goodness and his faithfulness and his greatness and his mercy on him, and how good God was to him. And that's, I have this book. I'm not always one to advocate a book, but Beth Moore has a book. It's called Praying God's Word. And that's what this whole book is full of scripture that she personalized by, I'm going to read a little bit to you so you don't think that it's just some kind of weird thing here. But she took scriptures and things that went in a consecutive order, she searched them out for herself to make them personal, and just wrote them down in a consecutive way. It says, in this particular one, it was overcoming idolatry. And she says, many, O Lord, my God, you are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us that no one can account. Were I to speak to tell of them, they would be too many to declare. How great you are, my God. And she just, that was from Psalm 40. And then the next one is Job 36. And she puts whole chapters of scriptures that speak of the same thing that she prayed out loud. And then in the end says, Lord, that I would apply these things to my life, that I would uphold them, that I would look to you for all my answers. And that was one of the things that I enjoyed about this, is because we can make God's word personal to us. We can pray it and make it belong to us when we're in the depths of our sorrow and in the depths of our need, and bring those things to bring a healing balm to our heart. The other thing that he talked about in his sermon was being specific. And I always like to share this story because it's kind of funny when I say about being specific in prayer. Years and years ago, when we first got married, we lived in an apartment, and we had furniture. You guys are kind of young, but I always called it farm furniture. You know, it was the furniture that had, like, the background of the covered wagons, and, you know, it was like, I don't know. Does anybody remember that? Do you? Yeah. Okay. So we had that furniture. It was my mother's. So when we got married, we had that in our living room. And I looked at it for 15 years in my mother's living room, and now it was in mine. You know, I didn't like it then, and I certainly didn't want it in my own house. And I said, well, we need to pray about getting some new furniture. And he said, well, we can start putting money in an envelope. We'll get some new furniture. You know, we'll just keep praying. God will give us, you know, show us what we need. And I'm like, okay, so Lord, I just pray we just can get some new furniture, blah, 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 blah. So one day he comes home, he goes, oh, my gosh, our neighbor upstairs is going to give us, he has a brand new couch. And he's going to give us his brand new couch. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So we get rid of the other couch, and he brings in the brand new couch that looks exactly like the couch we just had. But it was new. So I prayed for new furniture, and I got new furniture, but it looked exactly like the furniture I already had. So I had another set of farm furniture, but it was new. So I always say, be specific when you're praying and asking God for things, you know, and say, Lord, I really want some new furniture that I like. That's a color that I like, that goes with the decor, that blesses me and makes me feel happy when I come into my living room. So it was just terrible.
That was a valuable lesson that she learned.
He thought it was funny.
It was funny.
So anyway, yes, we'd be specific. But in being specific, I was thinking about two stories in Scripture, one of Hannah.
I was just going to add to that story, because with that, even though she might have been disappointed that she didn't get what she exactly wanted, she did get what she needed, which was new furniture. And the money that we had saved for the furniture, she thus was able to spend that on the Christmas presents for the kids and stuff. In which case, every Christmas that comes around, she's always looking for that. And that's something that God has always blessed her with, is having the peace of never having to worry about money for Christmas, for the kids, or anything like that. And that was just the beginning of that. That he saw, see, and that's what I told her. I said, now you have all kinds of money for Christmas presents.
Yeah.
So you got to be very specific. Not just new furniture, not just furniture I like, not something that goes with the decor, but I still want money for Christmas. That was it. What we were going to ask them about prayer.
Oh, that's right. Go ahead.
One of the things that we wanted to ask and put it out there for now was prayer and the difference it makes. How many here believe that prayer makes a difference? Okay, about half of you. What does the other half believe?
We're just too lazy to
raise our hand. Well, we will pray for those that are too lazy to raise their hand. Right? So if we truly believe that prayer makes a difference, then are we praying without ceasing? Are we continually praying for the things that God's laid upon our hearts? Are we praying the word? Are we praying for those that God's put into authority? And if we truly believe it makes a difference, how much time do we spend in prayer? You know? And do we travail in that prayer? Do we constantly pursue God until we see that answered, whether that answer even be not at this time, but we know and have a peace that it's not at this time? You know, for all those that are probably aware of it, that Kevin Mott was in a car accident, And that's something from the time that you heard about it. For most of us, we begin praying for him and haven't ceased praying for him. And there's multiple prayers constantly ringing in God's ear for his healing, for his family, for the comfort of his family. And it continues on. You know, and it's without ceasing. All day I keep in touch with my wife. You know, what's going on? What's happened? What's the update? You know, prayer makes a huge difference. And it makes a difference in our life. That we have somebody that we can turn to, that we can trust, that we can lay our requests at his feet. And he hears each and every one of them. We serve a personal God. He's not impersonal, and we don't serve a God that doesn't care. If we served a God that didn't care, what would be the sense of praying? Sharon had her hand up.
Anyone, even those that don't believe in God, after looking at that truck of Kevin's and what the condition was after that accident, has to believe that there's a God, because there's no way that man should have made it out of that vehicle alive. He had the power of God around him, protecting him.
A story to go along with that. I went there yesterday to see Kevin, and there was a couple ladies from the church they used to attend were there. And one of them asked if she could kind of talk to me a minute. I know the lady just by face. She's been here several times for Pastor Trout. But she got me off to the side, and she said, you remember praying for my daughter about 18 months ago? I said, lady, I don't know what I had for breakfast this morning. I didn't tell her that. I don't know what I had for breakfast, let alone praying for your daughter. I recognize you, but I told her, no, honestly, I don't. She said, not to go in what the prayer was or everything, but she said from that moment forth for the last 18 months, that's been a changed girl. Her life just totally turned around. Now, I would have never known that. Don't even remember the prayer. That's where the power comes in. But to keep us going sometimes, he'll give us a little glimpse that he does answer prayers, you know. I don't even remember praying for this young lady, but yet God touched her, right? So it kind of, those little things keep you going, you know, that you're out there. He is using us. There's no prayer that ever goes to waste. There's no prayer that ever goes to a deaf ear. He hears everyone.
Amen.
Yes.
That's a short one.
And to go along with that, we were going to ask that starting right now, we thought we'd put it out there now so you can think about it for a few minutes, that just think about something that you have prayed for and God's answered it. And we just wanted to give everybody the opportunity to share that after this.
Not everybody. That's too long, possibly. Sammy, you're not included in that.
We're going to give a few people a chance to share
the answer. Yeah, and the rest we'll pick on. All right, I'm going to share some scriptures real quick about prayer and the difference it makes. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for help. That's Psalm 39:12. Has anybody ever cried out to God for help? I did today. Yep. Probably about once a month we have a huge inspection for our properties. And it's very challenging because they're looking for excellence in the midst of that, when people come on site. And it's challenging and it's exciting at the same time, and it can get very frustrating because they take all of 10 minutes to walk the property. And everybody's like, all of that for 10 minutes? I says, they were very happy with everything they seen in that 10 minutes. They had nothing but good to say. Did you really want them walking longer on the property? Because they can find stuff. Then where would we be, you know? I was very thankful that our inspection went well. We got good reports. Got emails sent out. You know, very thankful. The bosses all appreciated everything we did to make our property be what it is. But you pray all the time in those situations, even daily in your job, because we are to be a light not only to those above us, but a light to those that are working beside us, you know, and not letting the stress of the challenge of the day get you down, but having a joy in the midst of what it is that you've been asked to do. And for a lot of workers, that becomes very challenging, to be able to have joy in the midst of their work. And I find that very disheartening, because it's like, okay, you got another 30 years before you're retiring. You need to find some joy in this, you know, because going somewhere else isn't going to get you the joy. It's changing our attitude. And that's what prayer does. When we pray and we humble ourselves is the key. It's there to help change our attitude, because we're humbling ourselves and showing that we're dependent upon God for everything. You know, my prayer is that I'm dependent upon Him to give me the wisdom to be able to do what it is that I've been asked to do. Not only the wisdom, but the insight, the discernment, to give me solutions to what it is that I've been asked to do. And I would say that I'm amazed that He does, but I'm not, because He does give me the solutions all the time. All the time. It's a gift. People say, well, you're so talented. You're so good at what you do. It is a gift from God, because I will constantly, without ceasing, ask God to confirm it, even when I think I know it. Even if it's something that I've done 100 times, I'm like, God, is this really what we need to do here? Is there a better way? Is there something new out? Is there another way to do this? Is there a better way? Is there something that I'm overlooking? And just constantly asking Him. You know, just confirming it. Never thinking, hey, I got this. I got this. Yeah, you've showed me how to do this before. As if everything's always the same. You know, even with the painters, they work so hard and so diligently only to have trouble and challenges. I says, you know, there is a product out there that would speed that up and help you tremendously. He's like, really? I said, well, if I bring it in, you might not like me because you've been doing it this way for so long. I said, but I'll bring it in this week, and you'll be surprised how fast it'll help you to accomplish your job, which will relieve a lot of stress. And just being able to share those situations. And what I like is, well, how'd you find out about it? It was God. It was God. It was a troubled, you know, job that we were on. I prayed. God turned around and steered me on the internet to California. From California, I had product shipped in. Tested the product. Product worked. That company went national. And they're booming. That's something that God does. I love the fact that you can seek God for everything. That He makes a difference in every area of our life. The big things and the small things. For some of us, it's about praying for socks. Right, Bob? The very small things.
That was Pastor Ed.
That was Pastor Ed. He prayed for you to have socks?
No, he wanted to share that story. Yeah. At that time, I didn't wear socks. I didn't care.
I had went with him. He was going shopping. He just asked, you want to come with me? And I, yeah. We're in Sears over here in Lincoln Park. And he goes over. He says, just getting a couple pair of socks. Okay. He goes over to the socks. And I'm like, what is he? He's praying over the socks. I said, okay. He grabbed a couple pair, and I looked at them. They were the ugliest socks I ever seen, and I have no taste. So if I say it's ugly, these were ugly, ugly socks, right? Argyles that were like 18 colors or something with golf guys on them. They were ugly. I wouldn't even wear them. I thought no more about it, and he told me, I said, well, why in the world do you pray over socks? He said, well, let me tell you a story. He said, one time I was in a dentist office, said, I prayed over it. I had the same thing. God one time told me, I went to buy socks. I didn't pray over them. I started to buy socks, and God told me, buy these. And He said the same thing. They were just an ugly pair of socks. He said, I thought the same thing as you did. Why would God tell me to buy ugly socks? Bright orange or something, I don't know. But he said he was in a, he didn't think any more about it, but he said it was maybe 3-4 months later. He was sitting in a doctor's office, and he could tell that the guy across from him really had some problems. God was telling him a few things, but he said he just didn't know quite how to approach a guy and everything. And all at once, the guy crosses his legs like this, and he's got on that ugly pair of socks that Pastor Ed bought. And then Pastor Ed thinks, did I wear those today? And he looks down, and he's got his on. So he says to the guy, man, that's the ugliest pair of socks I ever seen. You must not have any taste. Guy kind of gets up like that. Then he said he crossed his leg and pulled his sock up. He said the guy just started cracking up, and that opened the door for him to minister to him over a pair of socks.
Ugly socks.
Ugly socks.
says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Ephesians 6:18. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Like I said, if we believe in prayer, we believe it makes a difference, we need to be praying continuously for the things that God's put in front of our path, for the people that he's put in our life, for the strangers that he's put in our life. I mean, how many people meet strangers every day, overhear a conversation? You know, it gives us opportunity to pray for those individuals. You know, you got to be attentive to that. God wants us to beseech him, to lay our requests before him, not just for ourselves, but for everybody else, for others. Anything? I want to talk about prayer and God's nature, because in order to pray, we need to understand who God is, right? So we're going to start with that. In order to develop a clear idea of prayer, we must first have a clear idea of God. Biblically speaking, God is a personal being, right? This is critical to prayer because it means that God is a person we can interact with, that he has a will, and that we are able to relate with him on a meaningful level. If he was impersonal, then prayer would not be meaningful. If he wasn't personal, how meaningful would that be? When we call on God, do we feel distant from him? Or do we feel like we can call on him? We can go boldly before the throne, as my wife was saying. Esther was going to go boldly before the king to intercede on behalf of a nation. Although she went with reverence because of the way that it was set up, she still went. If we're not going boldly before God to lay our request at his feet, usually that's because we're in sin. We don't feel that we're worthy to go before the king. That's the one thing that will separate us. That's the one thing that will come against our prayer life. It says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Well, that's where the humility comes in and the repentance comes in. I want to see God move. I want to see the request that I lay at his feet not only answered, but answered in such a way that you see him glorified. Right? Is God somebody that we can command? Not at all. We can request of him and lay those things at his feet, but we're not going to be able to tell him what to do. Is he a genie that we can lay our wishes at his feet and we wish things? A lot of people think, hey, I wish that this would happen. I wish that would happen. It comes from knowing God, as my wife was saying. It comes from knowing the word. Knowing this word is so important to our prayer life. It goes hand in hand. So many Christians say, well, I pray. I pray often. But they don't know the word. As my wife was saying, you pray the word. You pray the word because what you're doing is you're understanding who God is. You're understanding that, as I said earlier, that you can cry out to him. You're understanding that we serve a God that in the midst of our sin, that he sent his son to die for us. So you need to understand in the midst of our sin even today that we can go before him asking repentance and restoration and forgiveness. And we can still lay our requests at his feet. Our request is so that we would be changed, so that he would be glorified. The more that I change into the likeness of Christ, the more he is glorified. That's only going to happen drawing close to God. In spite of my sinful nature. I think that's one of the hardest things as Christians is coming to terms with that sinful nature and knowing that the remedy is that you have to stay close to God. Because it's like a magnet. When you sin, how often does that? It's almost like a magnet. You start to sin, it wants to push you away from God. When in fact, it needs to be drawing you close so that you can learn who God is in the midst of that, so that God can change you. It's God that's going to do the changing. It's God that's going to bring the revelation to us to see just how crazy it is to even entertain that sin. It's nonsense. You know, the devil comes as an angel of light to say that that sin is going to benefit you in so many different ways, that it's going to make you happy, that it's going to satisfy you, and it just then all of a sudden he drops the bottom out. It's knowing God, knowing his truth, knowing his word that enables us to come to terms and have that revelation of who God is. And knowing God, you can see just how evil the schemes of the enemy are. And you can see the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. And that's what's so neat about that. I was thinking about Kevin Mott and his situation and how thankful we all are at this point with what's going on with his recovery, the surgery and whatnot, and we want to see that continue. But at the same time, I still believe that that's the enemy trying to rob his kids, trying to rob his future grandkids from this man of God, that he will literally want to take you out, that there's those schemes that have been set in place trying to destroy the children of God. And then it's the prayers of the saints to combat that. Not just to be thankful for him being saved and living, but to also come against what would happen in a situation like that. How easy it is to turn around and have people fall into depression. We just had another individual not too long ago lost their son. I would never want to go through that. But we did have an individual lost his son. And the one concern that me and my wife had is for the parents. Because that is tragic. And our prayer has been to be that hedge, as he said, to be that hedge in prayer to come against that grief, that they need that time to grieve, but it does not fall into a state of depression. That God at the same time would be able to bring a peace and an understanding to that situation and to bring healing to that situation. Because it's so easy for us who have not experienced that to wake up the next day or 3 days later and we're moving forward with our life. And it becomes a distant memory. Where sometimes those individuals can get stuck in that moment and they have so much trouble getting past that. And that's what I love about prayer. And that's what you like about journaling, is you can put that in a journal and you can constantly be reminded about those situations, and hey, how's so-and-so doing? You know, what's the update on that? Do we need to be a little bit more fervent in our prayer? God, it doesn't look good. You know, what's going on in that situation? You know? And it's so important to have that communication with God. It's an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. You know, and it's so easy to get caught up in our daily life.
Nothing. I was just going to say, you know, earlier I was just joking around about being specific as far as like the furniture was concerned. But the thing is when you do have those things that are on your heart, considering friends who have been in an accident or lost a loved one, then you do want to get before the throne of God and be specific. You know, like he was saying, Lord, heal their heart. Give them a vision beyond this moment. You know, not just, Lord, just watch over them today and protect them. Start listening to the Holy Spirit on what it is that they need. You know, send someone into their path today that can bring them purpose and joy. You know, love on them today. Show them that there is something further to live for than what just happened. You know, and start getting on your face before God on what it is specifically that somebody may need. You know, there's nothing wrong in a corporate situation. You're not looking to uncover people when you're like an intercessory prayer situation or you're praying with friends about something. You're not going to go specifically and share some deep thing that the Lord's put on your heart to share. But when you're private and you're talking to God, just you and him, You can say some of the things that God has laid on your heart about that person, that God's shown you about them, that you can bathe in prayer in a deeper aspect.
Amen. It says not only is God personal, he's also loving. 1 John 4:8, 16 and John 3:16. His word reveals his love for us. And it's through that love that we begin to understand prayer. You know, I find it very neat. The other Sunday, we were up here, I was talking with Bob, and his granddaughter come up, and she just starts turning the term. What do you think about a Slurpee? And Bob's like, all right, as soon as we get done. And she just smiled and went on her way. Now, why is it that she could do that? Because she knows the love that Bob has for her. She could have asked for anything at that moment, I think, and she would have got it. You know? And it was so neat to see that. Because we don't fall into that category a lot of times. We always bring this baggage into the prayer closet. She didn't bring anything but, what do you think about a Slurpee? Not that Bob could have one, but he knows they're good. And we need to have that childlike faith that we can go before our Father. So what do you think about this situation? See, I tell my wife all the time, you need to go before God and say, what do you think about my husband getting a new van? And she struggles with that because it's not before she gets a new car, she says. So I'm like, listen, this isn't going to work because neither one of us is going to get anything. So you need to just rescind that and just start praying for my new van. Right?
No.
No? So with that, we need to be careful of our motives. What's our motives for praying? Because our motives can usually, for some reason, with the sinful nature of ours, can be geared towards selfish things. You know, how many people have you heard, especially when the lottery starts getting up there in large amounts? Oh, but if God had me win, I definitely would give to the church. You know? I'm like, really? So that means you would give now too, right? How easy it is to give out of our abundance, right? What about giving out of your need? Where's that prayer? Lord, teach me how to give out of my need. Teach me how to give out of my need, not out of my abundance. Has anybody ever had trouble giving out of their abundance? We have one honest one. You know, but giving out of our need, that's difficult. That's just not when it comes to money. How many have trouble giving out of their need when they don't have a lot of time? When there's a answer that you can give for prayer, right? But it requires time. Not money. Not, hey, I'll pray for you. I was thinking of my son, Jesse. There was a request of a shop vac or a carpet cleaner to be able to evac some water out of a basement that was flooded. And Jesse said, well, the shop vac would work good, but the carpet cleaner would work really well. My wife says, yeah, but they may not know how to use the carpet cleaner. He says, what's that got to do with anything? I know how to use the carpet cleaner. And with that, he had to meet that need. Did he have the time to meet the need? Not really. He is now not here because he has no clothes that are clean. He is home doing laundry. Because he chose to meet that need that somebody had at that time, being a tragic situation in a sense, and sacrificing that time. None of my kids want to do that anymore. Yeah, they'd rather work. But it's difficult in that situation to be able to do that, to give out of your need. Because Because we all think, hey, well, I need this, and I need that. I need this time. You know, what about me, Lord? What about my needs? What about his needs? What about us being that light? You know, that's the hardest thing to do. You're only going to be able to do that as you establish a relationship with God. You're only going to be able to do that through prayer. Pastor Don has some.
I don't remember who did it. It might have been Don Francisco. But the song was about, what about me? And it was about getting all this stuff, you know, like everybody else getting blessed. And nobody remembers that. Pastor John, you remember that one? What about me? Yeah, it was old Christian. I'll have to look that one up.
It says, God is also all-powerful, omnipotent, meaning that no prayer is beyond his ability to answer. For nothing is impossible with God, Luke 1:37. If God were less than all-powerful, then we would have no assurance that he could answer or even hear our prayers. Do we really understand that God is all-powerful? He can do it. There's no doubt that he can do it. The question ends up being, will he do it? Why won't he do it? That's usually what we want to answer. Why won't you do it? To everything that we see, this to us appears to be a good thing. I don't understand why you would not want to do this. But it's only him that knows the beginning and the end. We only know what's in front of us a lot of times. That's why it's important to press in with that prayer so that we too can understand when we're told or something doesn't happen the way that we prayed it to happen. You know, in those situations, people pray, and it's usually, Lord, spare their life. Usually, Lord, save their life. And that doesn't always happen. And that becomes very difficult to understand. Is that to draw us away from God, or is that to draw us to God? Because we are not going to understand everything. His ways are higher than our ways. And it's through his word that we're going to understand that he is trustworthy in the midst of that. That in spite of us not understanding at this time, I believe when we get to heaven that we'll understand. That we'll have the time and he'll share with us. And then, is it us that's going to be enlightened or is it him that's going to be enlightened? No, it'll be us. Because his plans are far bigger than what we see a lot of times. A lot of times we're praying for the here and now, what's in front of us today. We talked last week about praying for my kids' spouses. That was not right then. That was way down the road. That was praying for that generational thing. Tammy, have you begun praying for your spouse? And it's true. You pray for that. You cover that. And what this does, what prayer does, I believe, is if you're truly going to be serious about praying, it means you're serious about drawing close to God, because you're going to have to draw close to God to pray. And it isn't just taking a half an hour out of the day, although that's good. It's not something to be legalistic. It's good to wake up early and pray. I like not being distracted by the cares of the world, in a sense. But in the cares of the world, in the midst of the world, what more is needed than somebody that's praying? In the cares of your job and everything that's going on around you, what's needed more than somebody praying? It's needed much more in the midst of the busyness of this world to have somebody there that is seeking God, seeking answers, seeking discernment, seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking to be led in every situation, and listening for that. We're the ambassadors. And you can listen for people's heart. It says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You listen to somebody talk. You just listen. Pastor Don's good. You listen to somebody talk, and you can start to read that book. Give them enough time, and you'll know a lot of things about them.
I did hear your comment, Ashley, okay. We know about the apparent suicide of Robin Williams. And if you watch all the press reports, it's interesting, you know, what a great guy this was. You know, how kind he was. You ever watch any of his comedy shows? His stand-up comedy shows? And how many times there was jokes directed towards God or Jesus? And, you know, we always say this, nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors, but over a period of time, you can get a general idea of what is in that heart. And they may mask it, and they may fool everybody, but if you listen to them long enough, you're going to hear what's deep down inside. And so when you hear this guy over the course of his career, you hear this blasphemy, you hear this disregard for God. He was an atheist, I don't know if you guys knew that. And just a constant belittling and joking about Christians. And, you know, but you hear everybody on the TV, you know, the news and all that, all, you know, the, oh, he was a kind man and blah, blah, blah. And see, we judge by worldly standards, don't we? And I like what you said there, Kenny, you know, that out of that abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And we may not know right away because people, like I said, are very good at masking things. But put in the right circumstances, put in the right pressure, the true character will come out, and you'll see what's deep down in there. And, you know, that's unfortunate it's that way, but that's the way it is.
It is unfortunate. You know, the one that brought it to my attention was my son, Jesse. And he asked me about it. He said, did you hear about that? I said, well, actually, no. This is the first I heard about it. You know, and I read a little bit, and I said, you know, son, I said, that's very unfortunate, but that is a life without God. That is a life without God. The world will call it successful.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but I can guarantee you it's sad because that was a life without God, and it was a waste. That's why it's so important to establish our relationship with God. You might not have what the world calls success, but you will have everything if you continue to establish that relationship with God.
That was the point I wanted to make, that this guy had everything that most people pray for, success, money, fame. He could walk in anywhere in the world and probably people would recognize him, want his autograph, fawn over him, right? He had all the money, royalties and stuff that he could ever use. How many times do we think that, well, if I had a little bit more money, how peaceful things would be? If I could get rid of these bills, I could pay my car off. You know, oh, man, if I didn't have a house payment, man, it would be good. Will it? No. It has nothing to do with this. It's what's inside that counts. And like Pastor Don said, you've seen what was inside him. He did benefits for gay and lesbian causes and all kind of things. So no matter what you have on the outside, it's what's the inside that counts. And apparently he didn't have anything on the inside.
Yeah, you don't do those things if you don't agree with
them. That's right. I mean, it's odd because the world calls that caring, and in a sense it's caring. It's caring about sin and the promotion of it and the acceptance of it. It's caring about the very thing that God hates. Oh, they were so caring. Yeah, they were passionate against God, against God's word. You know, we had watched a video. What I found, my wife right away got a little discouraged because in the video was Dr. Ben Carson. But it was when he was at the National Day of Prayer with President Obama and his wife. And she sees it. I don't want to watch that. I said, no, you got to watch this. It's good. And what was so neat about it, so good about it, is that he was himself. He didn't care who was sitting to the left of him or to the right of him. He didn't care. He brought up all the scriptures. He talked about financial responsibility. He brought up, and the president did not, he was stoic. And they called for him after it, like 15 minutes after, for him to apologize. I said, apologize. He said, well, you offended the president. So I talked to him afterwards, and I wasn't talking about anybody specific. If he was offended, I don't know what to tell you. I didn't name names or anything, so if he was offended, then he would have to deal with that himself. And that's what's so important. That's what's so neat about prayer and what it establishes in our life. It establishes a foundation. Praying to God establishes a foundation, and you want to consistently establish that foundation because the world looks to erode that foundation. It's been looking. There's been a fight. They got prayer out of school. They want to get prayer out of church. They want to get prayer out of the restaurant. You can't pray over your food now. That restaurant no longer will allow that. They could be legally sued, is what they said. You're not going to be able to bring up any. They want to get it all gone. And the thing is, if we're not going to be bold as parents, what's going to enable our children to be bold? Our grandchildren. And if we're not going to be bold, we got to ask ourselves why. What is our foundation consisting of? Is our foundation really this word? Or have I been following Bob just because I like Bob? Bob's my friend. I'm going to follow Bob until I don't want to follow Bob. I'm going to follow Pastor Don or Pastor John until I don't. No, it's great to have great leaders. That's awesome. But it's about following God. In spite of these world leaders, in spite of the president or our mayor or anybody else, it's about following God. And it's through prayer that's going to embolden us to be able to say those things and do those things. And it's not going to come without resistance. You think we're just going to be able to waltz in there and take back what the enemy stole? You're going to have to fight for it. And that fight begins in prayer. And it begins in serious prayer. You know, you fight for your future generation. You know, as Pastor John always says, it doesn't seem like this world's getting any better in a sense as far as its moral decay and everything else. What do our grandkids got to look forward to? Besides serious, serious persecution. We think, oh, that could never happen here. Really? If God's people, not if the heathen, not if the world, if God's people don't humble themselves and pray and seek his face. 8 months we've been talking about seeking God's face. So if we haven't started doing that, there's some pride issues. We need to seek his face. We need to humble ourselves. We need to repent. And my wife often, like, why are you repenting for that? You didn't do that. I'm part of a body. I wish that if my knee hurt, none of the rest of my body ever felt that. But that's not the way it works. If my knee hurts, all of my body seems to ache. I feel it everywhere. And that's the way it is with the body of Christ. If there's sin in the body of Christ, then we need to be praying for it as if we have done that. God, forgive us. We are one. We are a body. We are a people chosen by God. And we intercede just like Jesus does. I often say, put it on my account. Put it on my account. I'm sorry. Did I physically go out and do that? Did I physically say that? No, but it's still not glorifying God. I'm still sorry there's somebody out there doing that. I'm sorry that there's somebody out there saying they represent God, and they're doing that. Because that's steering so many people into a pit of hell because they dress it up. But that comes through prayer. It comes through God showing me how to pray. Jesus took upon the sin of the world. We as his people, we can intercede for this world. Only through the Holy Spirit. I go to work, and I work with heathens now. Like I said, I no longer get to live that sheltered life. Revelation has set in. So in the midst of prayer, it's like, am I praying for these people? God, you chasey people, because I can't take it. There's that I can't take it. God, I'm sorry that they do that. That doesn't honor you. But you know what? Today I'm here, put it on my account. May grace and mercy be upon them. My hope is that they get saved. You got to have a heart for them. Why do I have to have a heart for them? Because I've come to a revelation through prayer that somebody had a heart for me. Because I was them. I was this close to not making it. And I know that. And when you see people, you're like, oh, no, they got time. You don't know. You could be driving home one day and be in an accident. You don't know. Amen?
Amen.
Did you want to teach any of this class today? No.
No. No. Again, it was just, it's the one thing that spoke to me mostly through this whole, like, studying is, again, being specific. You know, because like he said, you know, you see someone, you see their heartbreak, you see what they're doing. See, outwardly, you just want to be either frustrated or angry with them, and you want to look at them, and, you know, personally, you just like, Lord, just remove them. And sometimes that is necessary. Sometimes Amen. It is necessary to pray that they be removed. But sometimes it's like, Lord, show me what it is that causes them to act that way so that I can pray for that thing. You know, what is it that's in them that hurts them, that causes them to be the way they are? What's in them that's never been healed? What's in them that, what is it that they've had to face in this life that brings that about for them? You know? And sometimes it is just evil. And sometimes it is just unrepentance and, you know, just a darkness about them that they just don't care. And so then you say, well, you know, enlighten them or eliminate them, you know. So, you know, but one way or the other, you get specific about what it is that God wants.
I mean, in that situation, it's very different. I have a situation at work. We had the floods. Two of my workers didn't show up, and we had this major inspection coming. Our company, you know, high water or the other, they don't care. It's about that inspection. That was bad enough. But the one gentleman called me last night and said, he's not coming again. And I says, excuse me? I says, you know what's going on. You've been through this more times than I have. You need to be at work. He says, I can't do that. I need to be here. Contractors are supposed to be coming to take care of my basement. I says, there's nobody else that could be there for them. He says, no, I thought you had a fiance or a girlfriend. Well, she's not going to be here. I'm like, well, you're the only one working. This is very important. I really need you there. You know, these contractors are going to be real busy anyhow. They may not even show up. Then you're going to be telling me I need another day. I says, they ain't going to look favorably on this. I says, well, I don't know what to tell you. I said, well, my hope is that you'll be there at 6 in the morning. 6 in the morning came, went, he wasn't there. I brought it to my boss's attention, and we already had a conversation, and my regional says, well, you might just have to fire one of them to set an example. And my flesh is like, I can name 3 of them I'd like to fire. And then, see, this is what's so neat about prayer is that it'll change me. God's like, so have you interceded for those 3 you want to fire? How much intercession have you really given? How much prayer have you really sought out to try to bring some correction to their life? To bring some wisdom to their life so that they don't have to go down that path of having no job, putting their family in a worse predicament. I'm like, oh, now I'm being corrected in the midst of this, really? You know, I prayed for them. Lord, give them some sense. So throughout the day, because he was already getting written up, and the write-up was, And if this doesn't stop, you will be terminated. And throughout the day, I just continued to pray for him. Lo and behold, 15 minutes before we're getting off, I got my walkie-talkies. Ken, where do you need me? I'm like, I says, I need you in 389. I need you to finish this unit. He says, I'll be there, and I won't go home until it's done. I went and told my boss. My boss says, oh, he's lucky. Because they have no qualms about getting somebody new. And I was like, oh, my God. He doesn't know how lucky he was. You know? Pastor Don liked the mic. So.
He was treated good by David. David protected him. And then when David needed something, he didn't respond to it. And then, you know, who was it? Abigail, I think that was her name. Met David as David was on his way to deal with him, to fire him permanently. And, you know, she interceded for him and saved his life. And then we see him, you know, screwing up later. But, yeah, that's where you sit down and tell him, say, hey, this is what was going to happen. Hey, you hadn't called in. You know, you're gone. And but that's a good example, Kenny, of praying for someone, because our flesh definitely doesn't want to pray for those people. And there's those times you just want to see them get cut loose. And so hopefully he's learned his lesson.
Well, it's an ongoing situation. It was the one person out of all of them at the very onset that I told my wife that I feel God's leading me to bring some direction. And he's a very straightforward guy, which I appreciate. He doesn't look to undermine me in any way or, you know, talk to him behind my back. None of the other guys want anything to do with him. That's already a signal that, you know, he's respectful and whatnot. And I had already talked to him. He brought it to my attention. He didn't think the boss looked upon him favorably, didn't look upon his work and what he did favorably. I said, from here on out, I will direct you. It will go on my plate, my account. You just have to do what I ask you to do. And he did that. And he was reluctant at first, but he did that. And all of a sudden, the report comes back. I says, you ain't going to believe what happened. I says, the boss now thinks that you're doing turns just as well as the turn guy that's been doing them for 5 years. Within 3 months. She is more excited about that and trusting that you can get a unit done in the same amount of time as this gentleman. That very day, I had a punch list a mile long. I says, what is this, though? I says, you slipped today after that report. He didn't know about the report. I says, and this is the report that came in. I says, you can't slip up. I says, we've got to the point where you no longer have to worry about this, because he was worried about it every day. He couldn't get it out of his mind. Just felt that the boss was against him, and all that changed. You know, and I just feel that the enemy, just like when I was working, wants to get him out of my life, get him gone, so that God can't continue his work. I don't want it to be on my account that I didn't intercede for him. And it's unlikely the gentleman that may end up being let go is my lead tech, the best guy. Because they will follow his suit down that bad path. Chad won't, because he doesn't have nothing to do with them, but the rest of them will. And it's like you've got to cut the head off the snake to get the rest of them to do what's needed. And I actually, when I talk to my regional, they're like, if that's what you got to do, you need to do it. They have no qualms about that. But it's so important, because God's ways are higher. And I'll tell you, even to this day, when I begin to pray and I seek those situations, I don't expect me to have to keep interceding for somebody. I'm like, really? All day? You know, this guy caused me all kinds of grief by not showing up. Really, I'd like to see him gone. But that's not the answer in the end. He may be my biggest ally in turning this property around. But I don't see that. I just see the grief he caused me today. And that's where prayer is able to get me past the emotion and into the spirit, so that I can be obedient to the Holy Spirit in spite of the emotion that people cause you. You know? And that's so important. It's only done in the Holy Spirit that you get past the emotion of it How else are you able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Because their emotion would be, okay, legion of angels, take them down. You know, but there's times we've got to get past that emotion and be led by the Spirit and allow God to be God. You know, I don't know if I was Joseph, right, without the Holy Spirit, if I had the opportunity and my brothers came after, you know, putting me in a pit, saying they're going to kill me and me enduring all that, I don't know if I would have had the grace and mercy. Well, I know I wouldn't have if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit and being led and seeing that we have a purpose beyond ourselves. Our purpose goes beyond ourselves, and that purpose is the glory of God. The purpose of prayer is that God be glorified. We look to seek God. We look to see Him glorified. That means we're going to look to pray and build that relationship. We're going to look to draw close. God knows who we are. He knows everything that you didn't do that you were supposed to do today. He knows what comes out of your heart. And He loves you still. And we have to grasp how much He loves us. Because it's what enables us to continue to go to Him. And it's what enables that passion and that desire that I want to be more like Christ. You know, how many people like going back to God, repenting for the same thing over and over and over? Because what happens is you just want to get into that hopeless situation. Oh, it's hopeless. There may be sin that you're going to carry all the way to your grave because you just didn't overcome that particular sin. Is that going to be the one sin that keeps you from establishing that relationship and pressing in? If so, we all might as well stop because we're sinners. If we truly knew there's something, we might hope that there's not, and we might clean up as much as we can, and we might look better than we started, and we might look better than others, but there's still something. Amen. Because if God passed through here, how many is going to be still standing? Because He's holy. There's something you don't even know, the sin of omission. You can go down the list and be like, oh. Because He's a holy God. And yet, we can go before Him because He's a personal God. I can go before Him because He's my God. I'm His. And when we say that, I mean, I'm His, that I will have to intercede for these guys in spite of the grief that they caused me. And when I say that, you know what? I hear the ringing in my ears because God's like, what about the grief you caused me? You know how many prayers have went out from the right hand? Jesus interceding for me? You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She prays for me all the time. Jesus intercedes for each and every one of us. I've been directed to close, so we're going to find somebody to close us in prayer. Gloria.
Father God, we just thank You for tonight's teaching, Lord God, and we ask that You just put it deep within our spirits, Lord God, that we need to pray all the time, Lord God, over everything. And Lord, just convict us of those times when we don't pray. Lord, I ask You to bless the rest of our evening and just remind us of this teaching throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen.